This morning, I am moving into the last of the sermons on the series Morning into Dancing. Again, just a reminder that the scripture tells us that the Lord will turn our mourning into dancing. And that's a really important part for us to remember, that God specializes in doing those kinds of things in our lives and on our behalf. That's what the psalmist said, and this is what we all need to remember. Just like Psalm 30 verse 11 says, "You have turned my mourning into dancing." So we thank the Lord that he specializes in doing that. Today, we move into Psalm 130. Psalm 130. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. You can turn on your device to get to that psalm. And we're just going to get this thing figured out here. And in the meantime, you can start looking at that psalm. And I want to ask you a question, and that's also for you online and for those of you here. How many of you would say that you are naturally a very patient person? Can I see your hands? And those of you online, you can put an emoji with the raised hands or whatever. Anybody here would consider themselves generally a very patient person? I do not see any hands. I do see somebody pointing at another person, so maybe there's, I think, one patient person. Okay, second question. How many of you would say that you are good at waiting? Not making other people wait, but how many of you would say you are good at waiting when something happens or somebody makes you wait? Anybody here really good at that? No? What about those of you online? You can, again, just comment online and tell us, yes, I'm really good at waiting, or no, I'm terrible at waiting, or I hate waiting. You can share an experience perhaps recently when you were made to wait, or you know, going to Costco and the line is sneaking along to get there. We do not like waiting. Before I get to actually Psalm 30, I want to just mention some of the things again generally about the Psalms and how the Psalms, this book in the Bible, kind of in the middle of it, has some of the things that it helps us to do. One is that it teaches us of a variety of worship, different ways that we can worship God. And as you read through them, you get this idea that there's just a wide spectrum of forms that we can worship God. Another thing we learn is that we can passionately communicate with God. We don't have to hide our feelings. We don't have to say, well, you know, he's God, so I guess I can't show my excitement, my anger, my frustration. None of those things. The Psalms make it known that every and any emotion we have are welcome as we communicate those things to the Lord. And another thing we learn is that God's word is a good way on how we can live our lives. You want to live a life that is meaningful, that has purpose and passion to it? Live by God's word. As we mentioned, tomorrow we'll have the by invitation only celebration of life for the Dillinghams. And as I'm preparing for that, all the stories that Buster would share and that Frankie would correct him or add missing details, they packed a lot into those years of life. And so you understand how important God's word was to them and how important it should be to us and how it can help us to live in a way that is not only pleasing to God, but healthy and good for us. So that brings us into our sermon for today, a lament for the impatient. If you are generally an impatient person, can I see your hand? I will throw my hand in there, because even if I denied it, my wife will tell you, my kids will tell you, I can be a very impatient person. So this is a good psalm for us. And again, do you feel that waiting is something useful or a complete waste of time? How many of you think waiting is useful? Can I see all your hands? How many of you say it's a waste of time? All right. Waiting helps us develop patience. So again, for everyone online and here, on a scale of 1 to 10, How would you rate yourself in regards to patience? All right, let's make it easy. How many of you would say you're a 10? 9? 8? 7? 6? 5? 4? Those of you ranked anywhere below that, you're already impatient that I didn't get there fast enough. So, I think that probably most of us would be a little generous in evaluating our patient rating. But just to confirm, maybe you can ask somebody that knows you well and say, you know, I rank myself at a 7. Am I really that? They might tell you, oh, no, you're more like a 9. Or they might tell you, no, you're probably like a 3, to be honest. And I think that it's human nature that we do not like waiting. Waiting is a difficult activity for most people, but a beneficial endeavor when we wait on God. And that is really an important factor, that we wait on God. I don't like waiting in front of the microwave for those 32 seconds that my milk has to warm up before I make my coffee in the morning. That is a terribly long time. But if I'm waiting on God, then the time doesn't really matter. It shouldn't. I should remind myself, and you should as well, that this is something good is going to come out of our waiting. So let's get into the psalm. Psalm 130 tells us right at the top that it is a psalm of ascent. There's a little story about what that means. Two things, there's more, but two primary reasons of what a psalm of ascent might mean. It might be the psalm that people repeated as they came to Jerusalem for the three main feasts of the Jewish calendar. There was three of them that they would come, and because Jerusalem sits at high, that's why it's called Songs of Ascent. As they came up, they would repeat or sing or pray these psalms. Another one, because there's 15 of them, some people think that it was the steps as the Levites, these people who were kind of like the worship leaders, the priests at the temple, as they went from the ground level to the entrance to the temple, there's 15 steps. And that at each step, they would recite one of these psalms, and then the next one, and the next one. The Psalms of Ascent, you'll find them there in, I think, Psalm 120 to 135, around there. And this is one of those. The other thing we know is that this was a psalm, also called a penitential psalm. There's several of them. There's 8 of them in the Bible that are classified as that. The most famous one is probably Psalm 51, where David comes to the Lord and says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your great compassion. Cleanse me, wipe away my sin. Don't hold this against me." And so we'll see a little bit of that. But let's read the first 4 verses. It says, "Out of the depths I cried to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you." Out of the depths. Have you ever felt like you've walked into something that's out of your depth? As I remember trying to learn to swim, and we would walk in this little pool, and there was a little ledge on the side that you could walk. But if you were not paying attention, the little ledge didn't go the whole length of the little pool, which was maybe 2.5 meters. And then you would take a step, and you'd go down. Let me tell you, when you don't know how to swim, that is a scary, scary experience. I think I still suffer from it. Ask my kids. I do not like water. But in our lives, sometimes situations feel like they have overwhelmed us. They're too much to handle. And so the psalmist says, out of this experience of being in a situation beyond my control, I don't know what to do. And as we'll see later, it has something to do with sin, but it can be just situations like the one we're living through right now. He says, out of that situation, I cried out to you. It also reminds us of the story of an Old Testament character by the name of Jonah. When he was thrown overboard, he says that out of the deeps of the water, he called out to God to save him. We also remember a New Testament event. Maybe you already are thinking of it. It's when Peter sees Jesus coming, and he's walking on the storm-tossed sea, And everybody's freaking out. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, call me to come to you. And Jesus says the thing that Peter should have never asked for to begin with. Come. And so Peter goes, and then he sees the waves instead of Jesus, and he begins to sink, and he says, Lord, save me. This is kind of like the story. This is the idea behind that out of the depths I cried to you. We will continue with verses 5 to 8. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all of their sins. Again, they're calling out of this situation that they're in because of the sins of the nation and the individual sins. And it's really interesting that if you see in our English Bible, there's the word Lord in uppercase letters, and then the word Lord with only the L in uppercase. And so there's an exchange of names, Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, God Almighty, and Adonai, Master, Savior, Creator, all of those things. And there's going back and forth. Key words like waiting. Waiting. I wait for the Lord. In his word, I put my hope, another sense of waiting. And then he talks about that he waits more than the watchmen wait for the morning. The watchmen, their only responsibility was to stay awake until morning came. Some people think that this is in reference actually to the Levites again that waited through the watches of the night so that they could offer sacrifice in the morning. And David says, as eagerly as they wait, I will wait for you. And I will put my hope in you because with you there is unfailing love. This concept that we find in the Psalms in particular, that God's love is faithful, never ending, always good. In fact, there's so many words in English to translate a single word, like loving kindness, mercies, grace, faithful love. So many ways. It's such a rich word that there isn't a single word that will help them with just that, to translate that. So again, in this first stanza that we see in the verses 1 through 4, that the cry is to God. Let me tell you, friends, in our time of need, we can call other people. We can call our friends. We can post it on social media. We can call our doctor if it's a medical situation. We can call 911. But most of all, we should learn to call on the Lord because he hears us. Even as Friday's reading in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells us, I think 3 or 4, 3, Paul says that we can come boldly into the presence of God so we can cry out, God, God, I need help. You know when children are small and they hurt themselves? They don't go like, Mom, Dad, I kind of hurt myself. Can you help me? They cry out because they're in need of help. And so we must learn to cry to the Lord constantly, always reaching out to him, always asking him to help us, always depending on him, and to know that despite our sin, he forgives us. And he loves us in an unending kind of way. This love that later on in the Psalms it says, it endures forever. We also come to realize that there is grace. God is a God of grace. Whatever else you have heard of God being, he is a God of grace. He forgives. He forgives. Isn't it amazing that God forgives us? Of all the things we have done, all the things we have thought, all of the things that nobody would ever forgive us for, God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So never forget that in God there is always forgiveness. And then the stanza 2, verses 5 to 8. Again, this repetition of our I wait. I look expectantly to. I wait on who? On the Lord. You see, if you're waiting to finally get into the store or to finally pay or to board a plane, it's kind of frustrating. But when you're waiting for something good, it's a different kind of frustration. I mean, Miranda's getting married here in 3 weeks or so, on July 18th. I'm sure that it's a wedding that has a sense of expectation, a sense of this is going to be worth celebrating. This is the start of something new. It's good. That waiting, let me tell you, is very different. And that is a little picture of how we should wait on and for the Lord, how we look to Him with expectation. And I love this whole sense of that redemption is in God, in Yahweh. You know what redemption? The picture comes from when somebody was being sold in the slave market. And someone would come and buy them, not so that they could be a slave, but would buy them their freedom and said, you're free to go, to live your life, to do whatever you want. And God redeems us from our sin. He buys our lives back. He paid a huge price by giving His one and only Son, Jesus, to die this horrible death on a cross, to be buried and raised again the third day so that we can be redeemed, so that our freedom can be purchased and given to us, so that we may no longer live for ourselves, like the Bible says, but that we may live for God. Never forget that redemption is a really wonderful thing, a beautiful thing. And you know what is the amazing part? Is that you don't pay for it. God pays for our redemption. And the good thing is that we don't pay is because we could never pay anyway. So we have to remember that. But then we move on to the next couple of verses, three verses here. Let me just read them. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, loyal love, enduring love. And with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Isn't that a great sense of encouragement to be reminded? And in the Hebrew is so much more emphatic because of the way that the poem, the prayer, the song is structured and the repetitions of it. It's so rich in its meaning and the subtleties of it all. You see, this psalm was the favorite psalm of people like John Calvin and Augustine and John Wesley or Charles Wesley, one of the two Wesley brothers. This is the psalm that really pushed them to realize, oh, wow, God really does love me. God actually really means what He has said, that He will reach out to me, that He will never stop loving me, that He has made this covenant. We said it before, and I say it again, that the people of Israel, whether as individuals or as a nation, when they disobeyed God, when because of their sin they were suffering or they were taken into captivity, when the temple had been destroyed, every time they would remember that God had made a covenant with Abraham way back in Genesis. And they would say, God, we have done bad things. We have disobeyed you. We have worshipped idols. We have not honored you. We have violated your words that you gave us. We have not kept our part of the covenant. Oh, but God, you are faithful. You swore by your very own name that if we would repent and we would cry out to you, no matter where we were, you would look down on us and have mercy and bring us back to the land you have given us as a possession. You remember that happened when they were in Egypt. Remember when, the story is that Moses is out tending the sheep And God appears to him. And remember what's one of the things that God says to Moses? For I have heard the cries of my people in Egypt, and I will send you to deliver them. And then later on, during the Babylonian captivity, centuries later, they call out to the Lord, and the Lord brings them back. We must never forget that God's love is faithful. That God's love endures from generation to generation. And because of that, the Bible tells us that he is worthy of being served with reverence. Literally, it means you, because of all the things, when I consider your great mercy, how kind you are, how faithful you are, I can see, this is what the psalmist says, I can see that you are worthy of being feared. Not in a scared kind of way, but in a reverential kind of way, to stand in awe of God. And yes, friends, wherever you are today, can I encourage you and can I remind you that waiting, when we wait on the Lord, is not a bad experience. It's a good thing. So a couple of takeaways that we have. Waiting gives God the opportunity to work on our behalf without our interruptions. Remember sometimes when your kids were small and you were putting together a toy or IKEA furniture or something like this that was for them? And they kept interrupting you to hurry up so that they could play with the toy or so that they could go to bed or they can put their stuff away in the new wardrobe or whatever. And you realize if they stopped interrupting you, you'd be actually done sooner for their own benefit. Friends, can I tell you, in waiting, it allows God to work on your behalf and on my behalf without our interruption so that he can do his good work in you and in me and for us. Second thing we can take away from this psalm is that trusting God helps us be patient with God. I know we're impatient with each other, but if truth be told, some of us, maybe it's just me, some of us are impatient with God. God, why have you not done this? God, when are you going to answer my prayer? God, where are you? God, I've been telling you this time and time and time again. Why aren't you doing something? You see, when we trust God, and when we look back at his record, he's got a pretty good record, doesn't he? Right, Jimmy? He's never been unfaithful to you, has he? Yeah, God hasn't let him down. You know, I think that all of us would say, yeah, no, I can't think of a time when the Lord let me down. I can't think of a time when the Lord was kind of, you know, out there and forgot about little old me here. No. So because of his track record, trust him. And it's in that trust that worship comes. Remember that. You know, there's a song, and we're going to close with a song here in a moment, but there's a song called Defender. It talks about the battles of life. And then it says, and all I did was praise, and all I did was worship, and all I did was bow down, and all I did was stay still. Sometimes that is the most important thing we can do, is to wait on the Lord. Wait on his word and trust him. He will come through. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you hear our cries, that you listen to our voice, that you're attentive to your children's prayers when we cry for mercy. Thank you that you do not keep record of our sin, because none of us could stand before your presence if that was the case. Thank you that we can wait for you with our whole being, that we can hope in you and we can trust in the Lord. And thank you that you will redeem. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.